And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday. The weekend is upon us, currently 33 degrees outside. And joining us in studio this morning is State Senator Virgil Peck, joining us today before the legislative session starts on Monday. And Mr. Peck, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Kyle. Doing just great. Looking forward to a legislative session. Got a good breath of fresh air this morning. A little nippy out there, but fortunately, it sounds like we're going to be warming up a little bit the first part of next week.
Oh, absolutely. We'll get back up into the 50s and make it feel really good out there. But hey, we can't complain about the weather too much as of late. I mean, I know we've had some ups and downs, but when we had almost 60 earlier this week, that usually doesn't happen.
And this is January in southeast Kansas.
Yeah, so it's going to always be a roller coaster.
And I heard the record low was like 15 below 1979.
Yeah, I could avoid that. I was, I want to say I was 1 year old. I was 11 months old when that happened, so I don't remember that.
You don't remember? I do. We had some cold weather back about that
time. Yeah, I was looking at the almanac, you know, a few times, and like a couple weeks ago, there was like three straight days in 1983 of like minus 15. And it's like, man, I just cannot imagine it being that cold. I bet you nobody wanted to go outside at that point.
No, you don't want to go outside at all. And vehicles are hard to start.
Yeah.
And if there's any moisture around, of course, it's frozen solid.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. So
bursted pipes and so forth.
Yeah, that's why you keep that water dripping and you got the salt on the sidewalks, anything, just to make sure you're not slipping and sliding and everywhere.
And you don't realize it that we've made changes and improvements as far as relates to plumbing and how to keep pipes from freezing and so forth. And so it's a little, not quite as bad as it was, but still, you get below zero, there's not much you can do.
Exactly. You just do what you can. Well, again, as we were saying, legislative session starting this coming Monday. So a lot of new things will be on the table. But one of the things that we were discussing off air is one of the provisions that was done in the special session. You were telling me in special, once something is done in special session, when the new session starts, that thing has 15 days left in it. It's a sunset is what it's called before, which means it goes away. But you guys could extend this for, I don't know, I think you guys said you want to do it 60 days. That way you can look over this, because otherwise it will sunset and it'll go away and everything will revert back to what it was before that current provision was written, correct?
Yes, I was in Topeka earlier this week, got my office assignment, was doing some moving in, got my desk assignment, got my phone number, which I will just mention that briefly, and then we'll get back to what you mentioned. But phone number in the Capitol is going to be 786-7742. So that will be the number that constituents would want to call, or others, as it relates to catching me in the Capitol. I will have a secretary, which things are a little bit different in as it relates to secretaries or office assistants this year. Generally, senators all have our own secretary, but we had trouble getting sufficient numbers, so I will be sharing a secretary with another legislator. Interestingly, the lady that has been assigned to me was my secretary my last 4 years when I was in the House. And so I know who she is. She knows how I operate and so forth.
So you guys have a good working relationship.
It does help to be acquainted with each other and know each other's nuances and preferences. But while I was there, I sat down and visited with the leadership staff, and they were talking about the legislation, House Bill 2016, that passed during the 2020 special session. Not all legislation passed during a special session has an end date or a sunset, but this particular one did. And I know why they did it, because they didn't have really adequate time to discuss every issue and get a full understanding of how every aspect of that legislation would play out.
Because it was a short special session, correct?
It was. They wanted to get in, take care of business, and get back home away from the Capitol, which I understand. But that provision that was passed, that law that was passed, does expire or sunset January the 26th. So leadership said there's a lot of good aspects in that. What this legislation does, it has to do with emergency powers when it relates to a pandemic. There is in statute language that says how the state will be governed during an emergency as relates to governor's powers. But most emergencies last for, there would be a storm come in, like we had the flood here in Coffeeville in 2007. Some emergency powers are flood, but a pandemic, as we've all heard lots on the news, has been going since March, getting close to a year now. It doesn't seem possible, but anyway, so there were provisions in that legislation that passed that really need to be reviewed and greater discussion. What will be the long-term impact and how should the state handle things as it relates to pandemics or emergencies, the power that the governor has, because elections have consequences. There's a lot of people that aren't happy with the things that the governor has proposed or is proposing. Well, she was elected governor, but the legislature also is elected by local constituents. So we will discuss that and the current school of thought because of the fact it covers several areas as it relates to unemployment compensation, powers of the governor, and so forth. Let's parse this out to several different committees so several different committees can discuss the different aspects that relate to their particular area. I was appointed. I got my committee assignments, as KGGF had mentioned earlier in the week. I am on the Commerce Committee. The Commerce Committee will look at the provisions of this legislation as it relates to unemployment compensation. How will we handle that? Will we have a waiting period? Will we not? What will be the amounts and so forth? So that will be discussed. Will be a challenge, Kyle, because the fact that we can't, it looks like right now we're not going to be able to bring in all the conferees, which this is public input, your individuals, your business entities, your lobbyists, private citizens who support or oppose the legislation and give their ideas and thoughts and things they see good, things they see bad with the legislation, as well as legislators look at it. So it will be a challenge, but that I think is a good way to go, is just to extend the sunset for 60 days, I think is what they're looking at, into March. So that would give us a reasonable amount of time to come up with a good piece of legislation, or actually probably several pieces of legislation as it relates to emergency powers.
Yeah, instead of rushing it, because again, 15 days, that's not going to give you a lot of time. And one of those days being you guys won't be in there anyway because of Martin Luther King Day, not this coming Monday, but the Monday after. So it'd only actually be 14 days. And so the best thing to do is extend it. That way you guys, like you said, can parse it out into different types of legislation instead of just one big legislation that sunsets pretty quickly after the start of this session.
And part of those legislative days are weekends. Legislature in Kansas doesn't work on weekends. We have, but not likely. And so that would really, but you're right, we can't rush it through. We got to get it right. Let's take our time. Let's look at this. Let's figure it out. But by just extending the expiration date or the sunset, if you will, it gives us time, keeps the law in on the books, in place, and then we try to get it figured out from there.
And one of those things, part of that's way you're going to expand it, because the one you're talking about, what this did, this limited the governor's powers with a lot of stuff she was doing, because obviously before that happened, she ordered businesses shut down, was trying to order a mask mandate. This past special session, the guys that you're getting ready to work on, that limited her from doing that, correct?
It did. It gave local control when it came to mask mandates. When it came to schools, that control was given to the State Board of Education rather than to the governor. And it also took away any power that she could have to shut down businesses. Now, are there some times that may be necessary? I don't know. I don't think so, but we should find out. We should discuss that. So, yes, it's one of those things that no criticism to the special session legislature. They were there to do the best they could do in a short period of time. But when you do that, legislation seldom comes out perfectly.
Right.
And once we get into it, we see what are the consequences as far as how legislation will play out.
You can make a more comprehensive one during this session.
Right.
Well, a few of the things that you were also talking about is you are co-sponsoring a few bills. And can you kind of let us know what bills that you're co-sponsoring?
Been working with some other legislators on some legislation. And these two that I will mention today are bills that have been pre-filed, which means they are filed before we even are sworn in, because I'm not technically or officially a state senator until 2 o'clock on Monday when we get together. We will gavel in. We sworn in. We will go ahead and elect our leadership, even though we know who it's going to be. It's a formality. Mm-hmm. But we will elect the Senate president, vice president, so forth. But we all know that there's been discussion since November as it relates to a fraud in voting and advance ballots and so forth. So Senate Bill 11, there are 11 co-sponsors. I'm one of those. Senate Bill 11 would criminalize backdating of postmarks on advance ballots. Shouldn't be an issue, probably not an issue in Kansas at this time, but we want to look at this issue, and this is one way to open the discussion. I'm sure there will be other legislation that will be introduced on the House and Senate side, both. But that is one, so we will make certain that mail-in ballots are done properly. They have to have a postmark on them to be counted. And if they don't have a postmark, well, no one can backdate them or change the postmark. That simply is what that legislation does. It seems straightforward, but I tell you what, Kyle, when it comes to legislation in the Capitol, what seems straightforward sometimes becomes difficult to understand.
And plus, you're getting in front of a problem before it actually becomes a problem. You kind of get in front of it before, because like you said, it wasn't an issue in Kansas, but it's good to get in front of the problem just in case there ends up being a problem. That way you basically got kind of rails to make sure everything stays in line.
That's it. And a lot of times this type of legislation comes about because of what's happened in other states, mm-hmm. other locations. And so, yes, get ahead of the game. It's better to have it on the books, have it determined how it would be handled or will not be handled in this particular case. And so we move forward as a state and keep our election secure. And fraud, we want nothing fraudulent in Kansas elections. Don't want them in any election, but we can't control anything other than Kansas as it relates to the Kansas legislature. The other piece of legislation, I checked last evening, and it does not have a bill number, so I can't give a bill number on it. But during the regular session last year, the legislature passed a rather comprehensive property tax legislation that passed overwhelmingly, and then the governor vetoed it. So we are looking to bring that back. What it does, just briefly, there are several pieces to it, but it's designed to make it so our property taxes are a little bit better understood and a little bit better controlled by citizens, if you will. If the local unit of government wishes to increase property taxes beyond what they currently are, now that would mean as a whole, they would have to pass a resolution or ordinance to increase the property taxes. There would be a 10-day notice that would be placed on the local unit of government's website. And this is the way the legislation is currently introduced, Kyle. Now, it will be discussed at length, and some of these provisions may be changed, probably will be. But I'm telling you as it's being introduced. The clerk would be required to mail out a notice of the proposed tax increase to property owners, not certified mail as was originally discussed last session, but just regular mail, or if the property owner is agreeable, it can be done electronically via email, for example, about the fact that there is going to be this hearing about increasing property taxes. Now, another provision, because this, again, is a fairly large bill, another provision would allow the county treasurer to enter into monthly payments for property taxes. Currently, that can't be done. We have the property taxes first half are due December 20th. The second half is due May the 10th. And so you have a big bill. And I've heard people say, well, right at Christmas time, I have a big property tax bill. And so this would allow if the county treasurer or the probably most likely the county commission but and the taxpayer want to enter into a monthly payment, they can do that. A lot of people, Kyle, as we're aware, they have mortgages and they pay their property taxes monthly to as a part of their mortgage payment.
Right.
So it's not too much of an issue for some, but for others it is. And again, the whole issue here is trying to make it easier for taxpayers to understand property taxes, what their tax liability will be, and so forth. And then the final thing I will mention, which there's still a little bit more to this, but the final thing I will mention is a lot of times I have heard from persons who have not really maintained the outside of their property. For example, new siding, new paint, new windows, which they needed it. That's part of general maintenance because they didn't want their valuation to increase. This legislation would say that your valuation of your property could not be increased because of normal repairs or maintenance. A person should just naturally do that, but it's amazing how some people don't, because they don't want to pay additional taxes. So keep your property looking good and maintained so it lasts longer.
Right.
But there wouldn't be this, the appraiser couldn't drive by and say, oh, they put new windows in, or they put new siding on, which is maintenance. And so they increased the valuation, so that would not allow for valuation increases for general and normal maintenance. So that's just a brief overview of that legislation. The tax chair, who is a part of the sponsorship and writing the legislation, said that she's got a hearing scheduled for the 12th. Which is next Tuesday.
Right. So
the very first day.
Hit the ground running.
Because we don't know how long the session will be. You were asking me before we got on the air what type of guidelines there are. I have heard nothing as far as the Senate relating to spreading out. If you look, and that's one thing a person can watch online, watch the proceedings. But if you will notice, the Senate desks are not really as close together. Now, on the House side, I'll let the House members talk about that, because I don't know for certain, but there's been some proposals maybe to allow only in every other desk on the floor, which that means half of them are going to have to be somewhere else.
Right.
They're proposing the galleries. There is a gallery to the north and south in the House. The downside is the legislators won't have their phone unless they really make some provisions. They won't have a desk to work at. And their voting box is on their desk. So I'm not sure how the House is going to handle that. In the Senate, we always voice vote on everything. But so people are wondering, how are things going to be handled? Pretty much normal, if you will, for the Senate, as normal as you can do it in a pandemic.
Right. All right. Well, Sarah, again, thank you so much for coming on today. And if you can give your number one more time up there so that constituents can get a hold of you if they have any questions.
Certainly. The phone number in the Capitol, and of course, no one will be there till Monday to answer the phone, is 785-296-7742. The office number, of course, not likely anyone's going to be able to come and visit us, is 225 East on the second floor, 225. And one thing I will just mention right quick as it relates to people not being able, the PAGE program, which I've always been excited about, when young people will come up and serve as PAGEs for the legislature to assist, that's been put on hold for this session. It will not happen this session at all, so there will be no PAGEs. But appreciate the opportunity to come in and visit with the folks a little bit, visit with you, and provide some information. We'll be doing that regularly.
Absolutely, and we'll see you again next month. We definitely look forward to it, and I appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Kyle.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Peck. Virgil Peck, State Senate elect, he will take over starting on Monday at 2 p.m. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll have news at the top of the hour from Fox News, and we'll have some local news from Jarrett Sleppy. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday.